Good morning. He is risen. Aren't you excited about that this morning, church? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Linda and Angela, for reminding us that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, church. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. You're our honored guest here on Easter Sunday at the Forks. There's a QR code on the pew in front of you or on the screen behind me. We just ask you to take a moment that you scan that QR code, and we get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, we'd love to meet you out here at our welcome center. We have a special gift just for you. But it is a great day to be here because he is alive. Amen, church? Yes. Let's take a few moments, greet somebody around you, and tell them how happy you are to see them this morning. Church, let's sing. He lives. I serve a risen Savior.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, oh Christ. Your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along. Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son.
I believe in awesome day to be in God's house, to sing His praise and to give Him all the glory and the honor that only He deserves. Thank you for coming to share part of your Easter with us here at the Forks. I'd like to give you a special welcome. I'd like to welcome those of you watching online, wherever you may be. I pray that you can feel the joy and the excitement and the Spirit of God wherever you may be. And I am so grateful that every week there's an opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come to this altar and pray. We believe in the power of prayer, and there's not a person in this room or watching that does not need prayer. We all need prayer. And if you feel led today to come to this altar, you can kneel, you can stand from your seat. Wherever you're watching today can be your prayer altar. But if you feel led to come to this altar, I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Won't you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, how great it is to be in your house today. Father, as I've prayed the previous two services, I don't have adequate words to express our gratitude for what this day means to us. And Lord, we give you all praise and glory and honor for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. And then, Lord, you overcame our sin and death by raising from the grave. Father, we can never thank you enough. And may we just strive to live our lives for you, who is willing to die for us. Lord, I pray for folks gathered at this altar and people praying from their seats, people watching maybe at home or on vacation. Father, we pray for many in our church that are away on spring break. Bless them with traveling mercies. Keep them safe. Bring them back safely to us. Father, I pray for people that are hurting today, people that are grieving. Father, we remember Tina Howard and her family and the loss of her dad, Brother Bill Hartung. Ask that you would comfort their family and give them comfort and peace and strength in their loss. Father, we have many on our prayer list that need your divine touch and healing power. We believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you're still in the business of performing miracles. And we pray for a miracle of healing physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, relationally. Oh God, we pray for healing in every way. Lord, I pray for marriages that need healing and reconciliation. I pray for friendships that need to be restored. I pray for addictions that need to be broken and people to be delivered from them and drawn to you, who is our source of strength and power. Father, I just pray for every person here and every person watching that this Easter would not be just another Easter that we go through the motions, but it would be real to us and we would take it personally for what you've done. And Lord, I just ask that if there are those here watching that have never given their hearts and lives fully surrendered to you, that before this service is over, there might be many who would receive Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Father, I pray that you would continue to bring revival and spiritual awakening in our country and in our world. Bless our leaders. Give them guidance. Pray for repentance in our country, God, that we would turn back to you because you're our only hope. That we would repent from the ways of the world and we would live for Jesus. Bless our military that are away from families this Easter. Lord, I pray for those grieving the first Easter without their loved one. I pray, God, that you would just bring comfort and strength to us, that when we are in Christ, we know we'll see them again, and what a day that will be. So, God, may this day be glorifying to you. May we give you our best because you gave us your best through Jesus. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. For it is in the strong and holy and powerful name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord, I pray. Amen. 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 This morning, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me first to Matthew chapter 28. And then in a moment, we're going to flip over to Romans chapter 10 and be reading one verse, verse 9. And I'm grateful after the reading of God's word, our worship team, our choir instrumentalists will be coming back to lead us. And thank you all for being here for three services. Thank you. God has blessed us with two super services already. And I know this is going to be already a great service as well. And we pray the Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way. Begin with verse 1 of Matthew 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And then verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. If you declare or confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Enough notes to make the harmonies. It's a song of angels, we'll sing through the ages. It's all the earth and heaven symphony. Yeah.
Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy. He is merciful and powerful. Who are we talking about? That's my King. We declare the glory. Give him all the honor. All together worthy. Who are we talking about? That's my King. There's no one before you.
My shepherd, my protector, that's my King, that's my rock, that's my anchor, my defender, that's my King, that's my God, that's my shepherd, my protector, that's my King, that's my rock.
So much, Kelly. Thank you, worship team, choir, instrumentalists. Woo! That doesn't get your heart pumping, I don't know what will. So thankful that you're here today, and we have come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So grateful to be a part of this special day and this church. For those of y'all who may be guests today, we are so thankful you're here, and to warn you that I always like to begin with a little joke, a little humor, and the key word is a little, to get you prepared to hear more important things. But maybe you all heard the story about the man that went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that he only had 6 months to live. And the man said, "Doc, is there anything I can do?" The doctor said, "Well, yes, there is." He said, "First of all, you can give all your possessions to the poor." He said, "Secondly, you can move to a cold water shack in the backwoods. And third, you marry a woman that has 9 young children." He said, "Well, doctor, will this give me more time?" He said, "No, but I guarantee you it'll be the longest 6 months of your life." Anyway, there's one word that people love to attach themselves to, and it's the word victory. And we want victory, whether it's in sports, in health battles, in business endeavors, in competitions, in war, in daily living. We all want victory. Why do you think that churches take on the name, or why do fitness centers or car dealerships or home builders? Because everyone wants to identify with victory. For the last several weeks, we've been going through a sermon series called Victory in the Lord in 2024. We have been looking at many giants that often we face in our lives, And with God's help and strength, how we can have victory over these giants. We have discovered how we can have victory over fear and over discouragement and over loneliness and over temptation and anger and joylessness and pride and guilt. And today we come to one of the biggest giants that probably most of us will ever face, and it's the giant called death. Just recently, I overheard some people talking, and one said to the other, you know, we all have an expiration date. And it reminded me of Hebrews 10:27 that says, all people are destined or appointed to die once and then to face the judgment. James wrote in James 4:14, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist or a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So today, when I'm talking about having victory over death, I know that it's probably not going to stop our physical bodies from dying here on this earth unless Jesus comes back first while we're still living, and he sure could. But I'm talking about how we can have victory over our spiritual death and how we can have the hope of eternal life, that our souls will go to glory to be with him forever and ever. In our scripture passages today, the first one we read out of Matthew is that beautiful first Easter morning account, that no matter how many times I've read it, no matter how many times I've heard that, it still is such a powerful and moving story as the two Marys went to the tomb and they found the tomb empty and the angel of the Lord spoke directly to them. It always still touches me and inspires me and challenges me to be my best. But then out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we see Paul writing to the church at Rome that was filled with Gentiles and some Jewish people. And the reason he wrote was to give the basic plan of salvation and righteousness that would be for all the people. He even used part of Moses' farewell speech of encouragement that he gave to the children of Israel. And when Paul used it, it was to make his point that salvation does not come from our self-effort or from fulfilling the law, but our salvation comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. And today, if you have come into this place feeling defeated, feeling down, feeling discouraged, feeling hopeless, I pray today that you would know through Jesus Christ you can have victory. Victory even over death. And how can we have that victory? First, we read in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, well, that is believed to have been the most adequate and first creed of the early church. Many times it was even used, they believe, at baptism. To this day, when I baptize people, I always ask them, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? You see, the word Lord in Greek is kurios. Translated in Hebrew, it's Yahweh. It's a title of respect. It can be used of an emperor. It can be used even as a Greek god. But for us to confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord means that he gets the supreme place of respect and reign and rule and obedience in our lives. And it's my prayer today that we would confess not only that he's our Savior, but that he is our Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, 10, 11, that every person that confesses the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But then Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. You understand, it's not enough just to say it. He's Lord, okay, he's Lord. And our lives say something totally different. Not only does he want to be our Savior, he wants the Lord over our lives. Let me ask you this morning, who or what is lording over your life? Is it the love of money? Is it sports? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it sexual immorality and pornography? Is it depression? Is it anxiety? Is it unforgiveness? Is it guilt? Is it sin? Who or what is lording over your life today? 1 John 1:9, John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so grateful for his forgiveness today and for his mercy and his grace. I received recently the March edition of Decision Magazine that is put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And in that March edition, they shared about some low literacy people living in Peru that were now having the Bible spoken to them or the gospel brought to them by a device called the Proclaimer, which is an audio Bible in their own language. And they shared about a man whose wife had gone to church and how she had gotten a Proclaimer and she was listening to God's word on this audible Bible. And this man shared that he had been an alcoholic since he was a young man. He said every time there was a celebration or a family gathering, it was an excuse for him to drink. And he wouldn't just drink, he would drink to get drunk. And he said that's how he met his wife. And as a result, they had a lot of anger in their marriage and a lot of problems in their marriage. And when his wife started listening to this Proclaimer, said that he would get angry and he wouldn't want to hear it. He was hearing it unintentionally, but she wouldn't let him turn it off, and so he would hear it. And as a result, God started working on his heart and on his life. And he would even take that Proclaimer out in the fields when he was working so he could hear the word of God. Eventually, he began to go to church with his wife, and God began to change his heart and to change his life. And now the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in his life, and alcohol no longer has victory in his life. Don't you know the same Lord can bring you victory today? It's the same one that delivered this man in Peru can deliver you right here today. And all you have to do is be willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And then secondly, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. To believe with your heart is not to just have an emotion or affection. To believe in your heart means intellect, your will, that we are believing with everything we have. This is the bedrock of our Christian doctrine, our faith. The empty tomb is the basis of everything we believe today. That is our bedrock. And we read in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Even the angel at the tomb told the two Marys in verse 6 of Matthew 28, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Then do you remember in that beautiful story in John chapter 11 when Jesus' good friend Lazarus had died? Do you remember that Lazarus' sister Martha was so upset at Jesus and said, if you would have been here sooner, our brother would not have died? And do you remember what Jesus said in verse 25 of John chapter 11? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Then I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and those verses 3 through 6 when he said, Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Peter and then to 12 and after that to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. So we believe this morning that the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. We must believe with all of our hearts. I've shared this story with you before, and I've shared it this morning that years ago when I was a youth minister, I was trying to get a young man to go to youth camp with us over at Cedarmore. It's called Crossings now. It used to be called Youth Week. And this young man was a little bit of a hard case, and he didn't want to go, but I knew he was lost without Christ, and he would have a week of Bible study and Christian fellowship, and I wanted to encourage him, so I went to another one of our young people's homes, knew he was going to be there that day, and they were down in the basement shooting pool. Well, my family, years ago, we had a pool table and a ping pong table, and I consider myself a decent, you know, pool player, ping pong time. I didn't hang out at the pool hall or anything, even though they had good cheeseburgers. But anyway, but that particular day, I don't know if it was right to ask God to help you win a pool game, but we're supposed to pray and everything, right? So that particular day, I made a kind of a little deal with this guy. I said, hey, man, I'm not saying his name, even though I've used it before, but I said, how about if I beat you in pool, you're going to go to youth camp, and if you beat me, then, you know, whatever. And I thought, how hard could it be to beat a high school kid in pool? Well, he walks over, and he has a case and opens it up and begins to screw together his cue stick, and I'm going, man, he's a professional. I'm getting ready to play Minnesota Fats. And so we played a game of eight ball, and man, again, I don't know if you should pray, but I'm like, God, I called that last shot, in which pocket I was going to put it in, and by God's grace, I made the shot, and I said, guess who's going to camp? Guess who's going to camp? I did that, really. And so he went to camp, but he was distant, you know? He didn't really want to participate, and we'd have services at night, and he didn't want to go. And the very last night, it was kind of a commitment night. It was like the highlight of the camp. Everything was building up to that last night. The music was great. There was a lot of emotion, a lot of spirit. And I looked around, and this young man wasn't there. I thought, where is he? I went back to our cabin, the guy's cabin. And I remember it like yesterday. He was on the bottom bunk with the flashlight, with the Bible open, and he looked at me and he said, Todd, make me believe that there's a God. Make me believe there's a God. I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, if there was a God, my mother would not have almost died on the operating table. If there was a God, my dad would not have left my family when I was young. If there was a God, my girlfriend would not have cheated on me with my best friend. I said, man, you believe there's a God. I said, you're just angry at him. There's some of you here today and you're believing the same thing. You're having trouble seeing God because your spouse hurt you. Your child rebelled against you. You were treated unfairly, unjustly. You were treated poorly, and maybe somebody abandoned you when you needed them the most. And you're saying that there was a God. Let me tell you, there is a God. The devil is the one who brings us pain, and the one that brings hopelessness, and the one who brings despair. God brings life, and God brings hope. So don't listen to the devil's lies when he's trying to play mind games with you and trying to defeat you. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and it says, you'll be saved. Isn't that awesome? You'll be saved. If you read on over in verse 13 in Romans chapter 10, it says, everyone and anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know today that we can be saved and we can have victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57, Paul said, death has been swallowed up into victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It says the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? We have victory through Jesus Christ. And today, maybe you're here, and you came into this place hurting and hopeless and defeated. You don't have to leave that way. You can leave differently than the way you came in. And today you can have victory, even victory over eternal death, into eternal life. All you need to do is confess your sin, ask him to come into your heart, forgive you, repent from the old ways, have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction, begin to walk in a whole different direction, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come in you to give you the power to overcome the things of this world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today we can have victory, even over death, if you place your trust in him. I want to close by sharing a story that some of you all have heard me share through the years. It's an awesome story that Tony Campolo shares in his book, The Kingdom of God is a Party. Tony Campolo, a retired sociology professor, a Christian writer and author and speaker. And Tony Campolo shared about growing up in his home church in West Philadelphia at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. He shared that it was a predominantly black church, and here he was, a white man, Italian. And he shared, he remembered going to his first funeral at Mount Carmel when he was 20 years old, and a good friend of his, a college classmate of his, Clarence, had died tragically in a subway train accident. And he didn't know what to expect. He said, for the first 15 minutes, the pastor expounded beautifully and eloquently on the Word of God and the hope of resurrection and the joy of being with Jesus. He said, then after that 15 minutes, the pastor came down on the right side and faced the first three rows where Clarence's family were sitting. And he began to comfort them and encourage them and try to let them know just how special Clarence was. And then he said he did something amazing. He went over to the casket where Clarence was in the casket. And he began to talk to Clarence, the corpse. And he said, "Clarence, Clarence, there's a lot of things we should have said to you when you were alive, but we didn't get around to saying it, but I want to say it now." And he began a litany of memories about Clarence, how he helped so many people, and how he helped the church, and how he served in the community without any recognition or reward. He did it humbly and lovingly. And then the pastor said, "Well, that's it, Clarence. I got nothing else to say except this. Good night, Clarence. Good night." And he slammed the lid of that casket down. And there was a hushed silence that went all over the congregation. And a little smile came on that pastor's face. And he said, "Because I know God is going to give Clarence a good morning." And with that, the choir stood and began to sing on that great getting up morning, "We shall rise, we shall rise." So people were standing and dancing in the aisles. There was crying, but there was celebration. There were tears, but there were laughter. And he began to share the celebration that was going on in the face of death and in sorrow. It was a foretaste of the glory divine for those who are in Christ. No matter how bad your life might be right now, how good, no matter how sad your life might be or how happy, no matter how bad or ugly your life might be or how beautiful, when we know Christ, we have victory even over death. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, that's the Christian battle cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, that's the Christian battle cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, that's the Christian battle cry. Victory, victory, victory. May we pray. Oh God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me and for loving us. Even when we've dropped the ball, even when we've fallen short, even, Father, when we have lived in guilt and regret, Father, I pray for people that are hurting today. I pray for people that are grieving today. I pray for people that are mad at you, God. May they feel your presence and your peace and your power to know that you love them and that you understand more than anybody, because you gave your one and only Son to die on an old rugged cross to save us from our sin and then to show us that we have hope. You raised him to life to show we have victory, victory even over death. Father, my heart's desire and prayer is that if there's anyone here today or watching and they have never confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and they've never believed in their heart that you raised him from the dead, that today they'll be saved. None of us are promised tomorrow. And I pray, oh God, that men and women or young people or children would come today. It would be a shame if someone left today, their life ended unexpectedly, and they had an opportunity after hearing the gospel to respond, but they chose to ignore the invitation. God, I pray today that we would surrender our hearts, our lives, to your lordship and allow you to lord over our lives, not this world, not worldly possessions, not earthly things, but we would allow you, our eternal loving Father, Lord, and Savior, to reign and rule in our lives. So God, give us the boldness to come to you. Or maybe Christians that have grown complacent, they've been going through the motions. They've been part-time Christians and not full-time Christians. May today, God, they surrender it all to you. Or maybe some people have been looking for a church home. I can't think of a better day than Easter to join this imperfect church who has an imperfect pastor but serves a perfect God. Give us the boldness, oh God, to come today to you, surrendering it all. We'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come as the Holy Spirit leads you. Don't let this moment pass you by. Make the decision of a lifetime for eternity. Won't you come? So much for being here today to celebrate part of your Easter with us here at the Forks. Please know if you are a first-time guest, we'd love for you to go by our Welcome Center and pick up a free gift as a small token of our love and appreciation for you being here today. Don't let this be the last time you worship with us. May this be just the first time of worshiping with us on a regular basis. We all encourage one another as we're encouraged by the Spirit of God. We'd love to have you to come back. Don't forget all the activities that take place throughout the week. Again, thank you for allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. Know how much Kelly and I love you all. Our family loves this church, and God loves you even more. And I hope you have a blessed and a happy rest of your Easter, that you will come back. I'm so grateful today that Jacob Beckley is going to come and close us in prayer, our deacon of the week at this service. And then Sean is going to lead us first in a closing song. Before doing that, Sean, this is Easter, but this is also a special day. I heard it was your birthday. Is that
tomorrow,
correct?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow? Happy birthday to Sean. Sean, if you would close us out in a song, and I'm grateful, and let me share this with you. Last service, we had a young man, Ryan Felice, who made a public profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. And at the early service, Austin Thornberry did the same thing as coming for baptism. So we thank God for seeds that were planted and decisions made today. Sean, if you would close us in prayer or in song.
All right, let's sing this together. Because He lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Together. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for this day, for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and for the victory we have in you. We are eternally grateful for the sacrifice of giving your one and only Son to die on the cross to save us of our sins. Lord, as we go from this place, I pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage to tell all those, our friends, our families, our co-workers, the resurrection story, that He is alive. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, Amen.